Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of ASP Presents. This is your host, Arden, here. Thank you for listening. Of course, thank you to anybody, man, that's really been just following with the show. I really appreciate it, as usual. You know, the response to the first episode with Benjamin Albright was awesome. And again, man, I really do appreciate it. Shout out to everybody that's been, you know, checking out my work on SoundCloud. As you guys do know, you know, SoundCloud.com/AnUpSports. That's the new home of the Smashback Podcast and ASP Radio, which was on Blog Talk Radio, but I moved it over there. ASC Presents, this is the home of it for Blog Talk. But I'm going to tell you guys the rest of that later at the end of the show, but I might as well get my first guest, you know, on the air for today's show. Really good guy to talk basketball to, my guy, Leonard Fairley. How's everything with you, Leonard?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
Nice to hear from you, man. That's always good to hear, man. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Leonard Fairley. You know, I'm going to get into the story real quick about how, you know, I met Leonard through Twitter, but make sure you follow Leonard, by the way, on Twitter at LenGotGame. His Twitter handle is in the description below. But how I met Leonard was, I remember it was like a few months ago, and I think my dude Jason, like, I think he was either retweeting your stuff or talking to you. I think it was like a conversation of point guard, I think, between Kyrie and John Wall. And we had like a good discussion, man. It's like a good discussion. And I feel like that's like the best thing about Twitter, you know, despite the stuff that goes on with Twitter, everybody with their hot takes and opinion-filled stuff, which is, I feel like the best part is when people could just go on there and just have a great conversation and respect others' opinions, and most importantly, like, you learn something. And I felt like I learned something, and it was a great convo with you. So, of course, I had to follow you. You followed me back, and a few months later, we still here, and you're on AST Presents, man. How's everything with you?
It's been good, man, you know, just a little keeping up with these games, trying to keep up with NCAA news, doing a little hooping myself.
Absolutely. I know you play ball. Yeah, I know you play ball, man. And we might as well just get into it, you know, which is, how did you get into basketball?
Well, honestly, growing up, I was just a sports fanatic in general. Like, I kept up with literally every sport on an equal basis. I mean, really, football is my thing, but when I was playing youth league basketball, I didn't really start out well. Like, the first year, I didn't really score, nothing like that. And you get called sorry the whole time, so I put effort into it and became good at it. Next thing I know, all that work I put into it made me start taking more of an interest into it. And then the interest just grew the more I worked at it. And then as I got to high school and couldn't really play any other sports, I put everything into basketball, which was not only playing, but actually studying the game, watching the game. And, you know, my love just grew more and more from there.
Absolutely, man. And that's where I could tell, like, you really know basketball and you care about basketball, because others, when you know, especially on Twitter, because that's like our platform to talk basketball, to see other opinions, but when you see people talk, you can tell, like, they never really stepped in between those lines. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't have, like, that up-close and personal look. But I can tell just from your tweets in the beginning, even now, I'm like, yo, this dude, Leonard, like, play ball. Like, basketball is really, like, his game, which I can always respect, man. And I saw in your bio, because I always wanted to know, you know, I'm from New York, so for me, growing up playing ball at a very young age, and even now, everything goes back to the playground, you know, with street ball, you know, or even now to the gyms, you know. You know, and I see from your bio, you from, what, Maryland or Virginia?
I'm from Largo, Maryland. I actually currently am residing in Norfolk. I was going to school down here. And I actually spent the last 3 or 4 years as a part of our men's basketball program at Norfolk State. So I was student manager. I did some video work. Now I'm just kind of helping out for the time being.
Nice. So explain to me, what is, like, the basketball coaching down there, basically, in the DMV area? Because I've heard a lot about it. You know, you guys have a lot of good, you know, competition down there, man. A lot of talent has come from that way.
Oh yeah, down there, it gets live down there. Like I haven't been home in a little while, but all the time I'm playing, you know, the competitive nature is always there. You know, you got to, of course, you got your share of pros, and you got your pro-ams like the Kenner Lee, Goodman down at Berry Farms, of course. But,
yep.
You know, guys,
there's
a respect for the pros, but everybody goes smacking everybody down there. Like, it's like, guys don't back down from challenges. And, you know, everybody, every region, the way I see it from, you know, venturing out, every region has, like, their little calling card, the hoops. I mean, you got West Coast guys, a lot of finesse in their game. Of course, you New Yorkers and that guys up north, the ball handling, Southern guys, a lot of athleticism. Well, Maryland, we have a lot of shooters. So a lot of guys that can shoot the rock. I mean, there's some guys that, even if they're terrible or anything else, there's a lot of guys that can shoot the rock. And as you can see, we got one of the best shooters in the league, Kevin Durant, right there for you. So that's one of our calling cards I've seen like that. That kind of stands out. There's not a lot of Maryland guards I run into that can't shoot the ball or don't develop it. So.
Yeah, you know, and I'm happy you brought that up, man, because each region does have a style. And you're right about New York, man. Just, you know, we have a lot of our guys, even the bigs, everybody is somebody where it's like, if you don't got a handle out here, you're not going to make it. You know, you got to handle.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be tough. You got to be physical and drive to the basket. But, the next thing I want to piggyback off of is, you know, from when you're watching the game, and I know for me personally, as somebody who's played but over the last couple of years has been really involved as a coach because I'm a private basketball trainer, I coach, I plan on coaching more AAU. Next year, I'm now watching the game more from an X and O standpoint. Are you somebody that watches it as somebody who's played or currently still playing or coach, or are you looking at it as a fan?
It's a little combination of both, but it's more like, I'd say like 80-20, 80 more than somebody that's like participated, and I've been around coaches for quite a few years, college coaches at that, so that has kind of influenced my thinking. So when I'm watching games, it's kind of like I try to view it in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, sometimes you can't help but watch. I'm, you know, Curry's favorite current player in the league. Can't help but be a fan sometimes, naturally. So I get a little excited off certain plays. But I really do try to look past the surface value of the game and try to actually look deep into things. Like, maybe it's not just, all right, he had 40. Like, how is he getting 40? Like, how is he spending?
Exactly.
Like, I try to look more beyond the face value of the game now.
Absolutely, and I agree with you from that point because, again, like I told you, you know, I'm a private basketball trainer, and I've been coaching now, and, you know, for me personally, it's just important to now look at the game from a deeper level, you know, because I'm trying to explain to these kids how a lot of these things work in terms of, you know, they just see, oh, somebody got 30, got 40. And one of the best things I've done was just teach kids about efficiency and tell them what's a good 30 or a bad 30, you know, and tell them.
Exactly.
And I feel like the thing that's missing nowadays is, like, I did it, you did it. And I feel like most in our generation did it, which was we not only played basketball or any sport, but we, like, spent time studying that sport. So we knew who we wanted to be like. We knew what the game is. It's like nowadays, and I'm trying to bring that back for, like, the next generation, I'm trying to tell these kids, like, study the game, man. Watch. Even if it's as a fan, watch. Like, see who you can watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have the opportunity. I'm like, you're blessed to see so much talent. Like, so much talent. I'm like, there's no excuse for you to not take from, like, a certain player and put that into your game. It's like, kids just want to play the game, and then, like, that's it. They don't want to put the extra work in. But fortunately, kids are they're willing to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, man, because, you know, we're around the same ages, so, of course, we've now seen, like, the rise. Well, I wouldn't, like, yeah, the rise in popularity of, like, when it comes to AAU and now the impact that YouTube is making, you know, with, like, hoop mixtapes and Ballers Life. Like, you know, what are your thoughts on this impact that AAU is having now, especially with YouTube, with the ability to have all these highlights up?
Well, basically, the impact's simple. Growing up, when you're younger, there was always your kids that stood out. your kids that were great, that were unknowns, and so on and so forth. So what is happening now is the exposure is as high in youth basketball as it's ever been.
And mm-hmm.
where you have folk tales of, say, you know, if you ever heard the story of the GOAT, New York, Earl Manigault,
yep.
a lot of folk mm-hmm. tales and such around him, a guy like that, you are going to see now due to social media, the YouTube, the Ball is Life pages going around. In fact, I was just out at Hoop Group up in Hampton, Virginia recently, where mm-hmm. Dennis Smith and the Thon Maker, the Team Loaded teams were playing. And you got Ball is Life guys out there filming. So now there's really not a lot of folk legends now. Now you can get somebody the exposure. Kids are getting more exposure now than they've ever been. Now it's no longer like guys it's fewer guys going under the radar now. If you play for
yeah.
a semi-decent AAU program, you're going to get seen nowadays
mm-hmm.
because of all the camera attention that's on it now. Unfortunately, sometimes it does lead to some overhyping of guys, but that's a natural problem that exists. I mean, it's not a big issue. It sorts itself out, but it's just the exposure is just amazing. It's a great thing. I actually remember when Ball is Life first started, you know, starting guys doing West Coast things, watching they had DeRozan up there, Larry Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they still have some of those old mixtapes from Ball is Life in the beginning on YouTube. You look
mm-hmm.
deeply. But that is allowed, like, now you see, like, if you ever notice on the City League Hoops page, now they got middle
yeah.
schoolers up there. You can actually watch
mm-hmm.
John Lucas's middle school combine. You got 6th and 7th graders doing amazing things that normally you would have heard just in the neighborhood, you know, if you was in that area. Now it's nationally
yeah.
viewable. And that's the biggest thing.
Absolutely. And it's funny you brought up that John Lucas one, because there's a kid that I'm working with now who actually got invited to, like, the John Lucas camp this summer. And he's, like, really excited about it because he's like, you know, man, he's like, you know, now I could get, you know, some exposure. And it's just crazy,
yeah.
man, just seeing it, especially with, like, what was it? I was on, whose site was it? I think it was on YouTube. I think it was, like, the City League group or something. And
yeah,
they got
City
LeBron's son. Yeah, like, LeBron's
yep.
son's highlights was up there. And then there's another kid on LeBron's team who literally plays like Steph Curry. I think his
yep.
name is like Cameron Ambrose or something. Fifth grade,
yep.
my guy. Fifth
mm-hmm.
grade, and he literally
they actually
the
have mixes
look like
for
Steph.
Every single one.
Yep.
They
yeah, man, it's
have
crazy.
For every single player on LeBron's son's AAU team. Every single player has a mix. I've noticed it
That's
the other
crazy.
Day. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And then there's another kid named Julian Newman.
Mm-hmm. Has a sister.
Has a sister who's nice. And then the kids hang so good. I literally remember the quote, the headline. It was, his handle is better than Kyrie Irving's. I said, are you kidding?
Yeah, they do get you with their clickbait headlines. They're good for that.
For real. And, you know, and let's go ahead and switch it up a bit, man. And of course,
all
we
right.
always got to talk about it, man, because you're a member of it. Unfortunately, I'm a member of it. We got to talk about basketball Twitter. We got to. It's a must. What are your favorite – what is your favorite and worst thing of basketball Twitter?
Well, I will say my favorite things are, besides the fact that obviously, you know, we like to engage. Now you
mm-hmm.
engage with other people that watch and understand, you know, it helps the day pass. It's really entertaining. I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
some guys on there that are bloggers or do something a little further than just a casual watcher that really got some good information, you know, be stealing stats from people all the time. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's a lot of things I see a stat I see and I'm like, damn, I never knew that. Makes
mm-hmm.
me think a little bit in these discussions. You know, it's a good insight. You know, it's good to get insights from different angles on a particular game that you might not have thought of. So that's one of my favorite things. Worst things, I mean, the hot takes are the hot takes, you know. They get a little
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
You know, some people
too
get
crazy.
A little too personally. Yeah, some people get a little too personally emotionally invested and get a little angry when it's not necessary. And
mm-hmm.
it goes outside of it. People just, you know, start wilding. But, you know, it is what it is.
Absolutely, man.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you there. I think for me personally, I just enjoy great discussions or great debates where at the end of the day, it's really, you know, did you learn something? Did I learn something? And if it's yes, and we were able to respect each other, then that's cool. I'm not into all the crazy, you know, the one-on-one debate with LeBron, that threw me off. I had to remove myself quickly from that. But speaking of LeBron, man. That was getting out of control. But speaking of LeBron, what are your thoughts on LeBron James right now in his legacy? 6 finals, 2-3 record. I mean, the man's resume at this point of his career, you could easily say, like, the ABCs. What are your thoughts on LeBron and his legacy?
At the end of the day, I think I'm going to end up putting him in the top 5, honestly. While he's come in with probably the highest expectations I've ever seen for an NBA player and has pretty much almost exceeded them, I've never seen a player more overly scrutinized than him either. Like some of the criticisms have gone out of the way, like the whole Big 3 thing and so on and so forth, is a little crazy. You know, it's like, damn, like, y'all going out of control with this. But definitely, like, I always go back and forth on the small forward thing, like, because Bird, you know, gets forgotten about and some of the things he did.
Larry Legend.
I really do feel like he might end up passing him because the things he's doing, I think the biggest thing that stands out in his legacy is how he's worked with lesser talented teams than some other greats and had success with them. And, yeah, he did go to Miami, of course, and got his titles there, but I'm not holding that against him. He's going to go down. You're not going to see another play. I've seen this one really. You've seen a Jordan clone, basically, in Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
You might not ever see a LeBron clone.
And I'm happy you said
never
that,
seen that
man.
Like
it. And what you said, too, it relates to what I've always been saying about LeBron James and today's athletes because of social media, which is we're going to have a lot of athletes, man, that are right now, in a way, are so underappreciated that you won't realize what you saw until they're gone. And LeBron James is going to be the leader of that list. Like, people are not going to understand the fact that this dude, barring serious injury, gave us, I'm going to say, 20 years of excellence. Going back to when he was 18 and what you mentioned in terms of working with lesser talent and really making guys better or making it feel that way and carrying franchises. And I'm just saying this, too. Like, Michael got the greatest of all time on lock. But LeBron, to me, is going to go down as the most valuable of all time because I haven't seen a player.
I can understand the argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I haven't seen a player, or at least when I've done my research, who's just affected not just the franchise but the league in such a serious way like a LeBron James in terms of team success, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Sure. And the next star that's involved, I brought this up too when I went on like my little deep thought run before the finals. Is Steph Curry, you know, which is personally I said this finals was the biggest for LeBron, not just from the standpoint of the finals record and what the title could do for Cleveland, because I really feel like the seeds are being planted for Steph Curry to be the next face of the league. I feel like it's so obvious. Do you believe that if the Golden State Warriors win this championship, that Steph Curry is basically going to be the next face of the league replacing LeBron?
I won't say he will completely take that title, but he's going to be right there. I mean, LeBron is still obviously pulverized, but in the fact that in these last 3 years, Curry has done risen to the ranks so quickly, and he's really marketable. Like, you see the fans, you see the children. He's playing a wild, reckless style of play that is so loved by fans. It's like watching Iverson almost, except for better and more efficient version. So it's like he's gonna arguably be right there. I mean, yeah, you have Anthony Davis out there, you have Kevin Durant, you have Westbrook, but Steph Curry has risen marketability standpoint. He's risen right up there with them, and you know. People are, you know, you see the hot takes, Wayne Love, Curry, you know, we do look at him as the greatest shooter ever, arguably best point guard currently. And, yeah, I could say he's going to be right there. Only reason I don't say he'll be, like, the stamp, like, undoubted face is because, you know, your LeBron, KD, Davis, Russ, they're going to still be there. He's still going to have to contend with them, but he's going to be right around that area.
And I agree with what you said, but the reason why I was saying that was because, like, you know, another dude I was talking to on Twitter when I first said it, he was like, well, you got Kevin Durant and AD. The reason why I felt like, at least right now, Steph is being groomed as that next phase is because Kevin Durant was basically injured this year, and he, in a way, was out of sight, out of mind. Like, nobody thinking about Durant. You know, Anthony Davis, I feel like Anthony Davis is just getting to that point where, all right, he's
right.
Mainstream. He's that guy people are looking for, but he's not necessarily there. I feel like with Steph, things are in place. You look at his playing style. He got the MVP. You know, he's in the finals. You know, he got the commercials.
That's the biggest
thing.
Like
you mentioned, yeah, his family, his
the
mama.
Biggest thing
Lord,
is the
his mama.
Yeah,
yeah, his mom, his dad, his wife. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yep. Drake with the line about him, with the Chef Curry. He got the NBA 2K16 cover. And I was at an AAU tournament a couple weeks ago because I was watching two kids that I trained. And, you know,
right.
And again, we're from the generation where we look at people's feet. We got to see what you're wearing. So I see the LeBrons, of course, the KDs, the Kobes, the Kyrie,
mm-hmm.
Jordan. But the next show I saw, all of a sudden, I see Steph Curry shoes. And I see people wearing shoes like Steph. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Man. So that's why I feel like Steph, if he gets the title. Yeah, if he gets that title, that's why I feel like he's going to be that next face of the league because people are ready to push that.
I see what you mean now. It's that the winning thing
man.
Is why. The winning thing, because
mm-hmm.
Davis was the AC, Durant's team without him was the AC. Steph Curry's team had a 67-win year. Yeah, I can see what you mean there.
Exactly.
Makes perfect
and
sense.
Yeah, and when thank you. And when we were talking about, like, LeBron and Steph, of course, the biggest thing for them is their development. We got a lot of young players coming into the league these days, coming in at 19, 20. You know, are you feeling as if in today's time, young NBA players are being developed properly, considering what we've talked about, whether it's like the AAU circuit or the one-and-done guys? Are they being developed properly?
I feel like it's really hard to answer that as a universal standpoint. I think it's more of a case-by-case basis. Like, I've always been a proponent of, like, I hate one-and-done rule. I hate forcing guys to go to college. Just let them go. Let them make the decision.
I know. I hate that rule, too.
At the same time, I've also seen a point made before where sometimes it's better for a guy to be playing at a lower level and getting that game experience just from playing, not even necessarily on what level they're playing at, but just necessarily just playing versus sitting on a bench at a higher level. So I kind of understand that point as well. With guys now, it's hard to say because when you're discussing this topic because a lot of people hold on to traditional roles and skills, whereas a lot of guys are coming up and doing different things now. Like, everybody's so big on big men and post games or whatever, but the game is more spread out now. It's a lot less
mm-hmm.
big, so it's a different kind of development. So it's hard to say. They're being developed properly, but we have a lot of young talent coming in, so I can't say they haven't for real. Even with outside of just the stars, there's a lot of good role players hanging around that were late round guys. So I gotta say, it's been a decent.
Absolutely, right there. Absolutely, man. I agree with you there. And last question, man. Before we wrap this up, you know. What are, you know, a couple of your expectations for this year's draft, man?
Weirdly enough, I haven't really been, like, following, like, the draft itself as far as teams are going. You know, I've just been trying to, like, you know, watch, as I normally would, watch the different names. You know, go back, watch film on guys I don't know, familiarize myself. So, I mean, draft expectations, I don't think it's going to be too much outside what's predicted. I mean, Towns, Okafor is going to be 1 or 2. Mouye and Russell going to be in there somewhere. You know, your Europeans that are up there going to slide in. I don't know. It's going to be some steals in the back half, as per usual. But I don't have really crazy expectations for it. It's like kind of like I'm just gonna sit and watch what happens. I'm not gonna expect anything. I'm just gonna be surprised by whatever, and hope one of my bros gets drafted.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Which is the best thing to do, man. I definitely feel like this draft is filled with a lot of talent, and it definitely could be some steals. But Leonard, man, thank you once again for coming on the show. You know, you're one of the reasons why basketball Twitter hasn't gone completely bad yet, because, again, you're objective. You know what you're talking about, man. It's always great talking basketball with you, especially today, man. We had a really, you know, good conversation. And, folks, thank you, man. Appreciate it. And if you want to follow Leonard on Twitter, man, please follow him at len.game. His Twitter handle is in the description below. All right, Leonard, continue to do your thing, man. Have a good day. And, of course, let's enjoy these finals more and more. Hope my Cavs could get game 3.
All right. Appreciate you inviting me out. It's been great.
Absolutely, man. All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
All right, peace. That was Leonard Fairley. You know, great basketball fan. Always talk to on Twitter, from basketball Twitter. Great interview, man. Talking a lot of stuff, man, about the game, and talking about the upbringing, talking about the coaches, you know, especially the first part, which I really enjoyed, man, because, again, each part of the country has a different style of basketball team. So those guys down there, you know, in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, they got a lot of shooters that have different style. And I'm happy that he knows, like, you know, us guys in New York, man, a lot of guys in New York that play ball, it comes down to the fact that we all got handle, man. We all got handle, combo, guard, tough. We like to drive to the basket. West Coast a little more finesse. Midwest and the South have a combination of it. But it was really great talking to Leonard, man. Hope you guys enjoyed this interview. But before I sign off, remember, please check out this interview. Remember, AST Presents is home on blogtalkradio.com/AST Radio. SoundCloud.com/ANF Sports is the new home of the Snatchback Podcast and AST Radio. Speaking of AST Radio, new episode coming to you guys on Wednesday. New episode of the Snatchback Podcast coming to you guys on Friday after Game 4. Remember to check out my Tumblr. I got a new piece out. The reception to it has been nice. My one and only NBA draft pick board, the mock draft, coming soon. And remember, man, stay focused, stay blessed, man, and get what you have to get done. I'll talk to you guys next time, man.